Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, look at this. Awesome people. I get to hang out with awesome people yet again. I know all of you hear me say this pretty much every single show, but the point is I do not take this for granted. I get to hang out with amazingly wonderful people, and that is not lost on me. So, yeah. So it's great to be here with all of you. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. It's always fun to do this on a Friday and start the weekend out right, or start it out with this group. Sometimes that's right, sometimes it's not, but it's always fun.
If this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah,
that's your top 40 reference for the week, folks.
Yeah. And if you don't get the reference, just Google it, and then you'll be like, seriously, that's the music people used to listen to. And the answer is yes. Yes, that's what people used to listen to. Yeah. Hey, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been a hectic and stressful week. We've finished our audit at work and had to submit about 10 tons of documents, and that was my week. So it was good. It was a good week. The weather is finally getting better. We're going from winter, because it snowed, I think, in Austria, not here in Vienna, but like other places, even earlier in the week. And I think on the weekend we're going to get like whatever 21, 22 degrees again. So spring is back, which is great. And
nice.
I'm sorry, just something fly into my and next week I'm going to Lisbon again.
Nice. I am looking forward to whenever it is I finally get to visit Lisbon. Everyone I know
it's
that
a
has
great
gone,
city.
Yes, they say it's just a wonderful place.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward to it. I'm actually already planning the next trip after that one. So since I go
Nice.
Once a month,
Nice.
It's time to do it.
Nice. What a rough life you lead, having to go to Lisbon
yeah.
every month.
I mean, not gonna lie, it's usually pretty great. The people are great. Like, I mean, that's for me the most important thing. The city, you're like, okay, seen it, done it, it's fine. Like, it's just it's a place like any other. At some point, you just okay, you go there. But the people are great. So, and the weather is good usually, unless I'm traveling, because usually my boss travels the week before me, and he has the great weather, and then when I come in, it rains. It's like he took it with him. Still my theory on that one.
I hope that comes up in their next evaluation report.
Oh yes. I'm gonna say you're always stealing the good weather from this.
Pay cut for you.
As if you had control.
Exactly. As if I had control over that.
Well, we can live in hope. We can pretend.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm very much looking forward to it. I always have a good time. We always get a lot of work done. So it's absolutely worth it. So highly recommend
Awesome.
It. If you've never been anywhere, like go to Portugal, like go to Lisbon. It's like skip Porto. Porto is okay. Yeah. Lisbon is the place to be.
You know, my friends that have been to Porto and Lisbon say that they really enjoyed Porto and they loved Lisbon.
Yeah, that's what it is. The only downside in air quotes of Lisbon is there's too much too good food.
I can see where this would be a problem.
Totally a problem.
Yeah.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. If you want to lose a little bit of weight, that is a problem.
Yeah, just walk everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like a nice 2-hour walk down to the harbor and so on, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's how you balance it all out.
Exactly.
Well, we should probably do a little bit of Apple talking while we're here, since it's the Mac Show. And Apple was gracious enough to give us an obligatory talking point today, which is the announcement that there's a media event on May 7th. And Apple is not saying what the event is about, but they're really not trying hard to hide what the event is about. And so the event is what is it
Really
called? Something
early.
loose?
Let loose.
Footloose, right? Or something like that.
Let loose.
Let
Let
loose.
loose. Okay.
Let
But
loose. You
Footloose
know,
would have been nice.
if they don't have some sort of Footloose montage going on, they will have failed. Yep.
It's
So
Tim dancing, right? That's what happened.
that's what we need. Tim, or maybe this is a great opportunity for Air Force One to really
Oh,
shine.
yes, that would be cool.
And by the look on your face, Chuck, you really visualized that well. Nicely done.
I did. I'm trying to get it out of my mind. But we've talked a little bit about what all the rumors are and what the graphical representation of this event looks like. It's communicating, but you have to wonder about what. Because usually there are at least one or two clues hidden. So what does let loose have to do with, what the rumors are, or what we feel like there's almost certainly going to be now?
They're letting loose the Vision Pro, like on the rest of the world, I guess.
I
That would be
like
cool.
that. I think the rollout for Vision Pro is going to be pretty slow, not because of projected sales, but because I think that they're limited on how quickly Zeiss can make all of the demo prescription lenses, because each store has to have a full set. So it's like over 1,000 lenses that each store has to have.
I don't even think that is the limiting factor. I think they, I mean, that is something they can produce. This is a mass pro I mean, especially the like demo ones, this is a mass production thing. I think it's more the training of all the people because it's not an easy product to train for. Like, I mean, like at this point, I don't even know if they need training for an iPhone at all. Like people there because it's like, okay, this is another iPhone. It's kind of like the previous phone, and maybe here's the three talking points that you need. Okay, done. Even the Apple Watch was relative. I mean, even though it was very special in a sense, it wasn't a complex product.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But the Vision Pro is. I mean, there's the whole demo thing and making sure it fits you right and the right light seal. And I mean, we saw in the US that there were some gaps in the training, and I hope that they address that now. I think that's the bigger limitation.
But Patrice, you're making that's a really interesting point, because when I went for my demo, it was not an early one. It was, definitely, I mean, on the calendar part. So the gentleman who did it with me had obviously done a bunch, but it was so seamless that I didn't even really think about it. It was such a positive experience, not just the device itself and what it can do, but also just how they walk you through it. And they will answer some questions. There's some things that you can't do, even though you'd like to, which again also makes perfect sense. But the training aspect is one that, if you're going to go in and purchase this, yeah, you're probably going to need a little bit more training than the normal device, unless you're just one of those people that says, ship it to me and I'll play with it myself and figure it out.
So I think that's probably more. I mean, they now have the advantage that they've trained a bunch of people in a, as you said, like a ton of like store staff. They've now like been running those for, well, at least is that now 2 months? Well, actually a little bit more than 2 months now. So they have I think spread it enough that they can send out those people to other stores and say, okay, you go from whatever New York Fifth Avenue store to whatever Paris, France. I think we heard France was doing trainings. And you train the staff there and stuff like that. So I think they can spread it a little bit more, but it's still a limiting factor. You have to basically, if you want to roll it out worldwide, really, you have to train everybody in the world, and that is quite a lot of people.
That is, yeah, that would be a lot of people. Yep.
But you are also, Apple does not rely on this, but you know that there are going to be a million people out there who are going to, well, scratch that. There are going to be a lot of YouTubers. There are going to be a lot of podcast people. There are going to be a lot of folks out there who are going to do their own version of the training.
Course.
And it's not going to be comprehensive, but it also, I find usually a healthy percentage of that useful because they're focusing on it like a real world user. The biggest challenge is that I try to find someone that is going to use it like maybe I would want to, as opposed to just doing a full-fledged demo of the device.
Yeah, but for Apple, that doesn't matter as much. I mean, they're going to do press things and whatever in other countries, like when they rolled out to France or to Germany or whatever, UK. They're going to do press in those countries for sure. But for Apple, the important thing is the stores. I mean, they're still highly trafficked. As far as I know, at least, they still make the most money per square footage that like most stores do. They're very busy usually. So Apple knows how valuable that interaction is in those stores. So they will make really sure that the people there are like what they did in the US, that they're hopefully well trained and ready and can handle anything that comes their way. Because we might not go to stores. I mean, you did, but maybe like I wouldn't. I don't know. I probably would, but people like us might not, because they're like, oh, I've seen it, I've heard it. Like, I just want to try it, as you said. But they. Let's say the nons, not so the early adopters that are not so deep in this area, like us. There's enough of those that they would go in and want to see it and want to try it, and even if they never want to buy it, they just want to try it. And those will show up.
All
So.
right. So we should probably talk a little bit about the event, at least our predictions
Yeah, well,
for the.
that's the part that sucks, really, because I'm traveling next week, so no predictions for me. I'm like, hey, I want to do it. You will have to do it without me. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
Apple, couldn't you have pushed it out a week, like, just for me?
now that you say this, I'm offended that Apple didn't take your schedule into account.
Yeah, totally. They should have, Tim should have called me and like, Patrice, like what week would be good for you? And I would have told them, yeah, let's do it on the 14th, please.
Yeah, that would have been great, but no.
No.
So yeah, we'll still, let's see. You won't be here next week. I'm not sure who else is out. Okay, hopefully we have enough people next week to do a keynote
You know,
poker.
poker. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. So I mean, but we can speculate a little bit what is coming. I mean, Vision Pro is one thing that we talked about, but there are some other obvious candidates of stuff that we probably will see. Like the iPads, for example. I mean, we haven't had an iPad at all in the last year and a half ish.
Yeah, that
Something like
sounds about
that.
right.
Yeah, there was definitely no new iPad in 2023. So probably a year and a half.
Yeah.
So, what's coming? New iPad Pros? Are we excited about that? Do we care?
It
I'm
depends
not.
on what the features are, really. No, let me rephrase that. Depending on the features, for people with older iPad models, this might be an exciting refresh. For people that have bought an iPad in the last couple years, probably not.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, I think that's generally true no matter what. Like, if you've bought it in last year, you're probably not looking to buy a new one, unless there is something where you're like, okay, the one I bought just isn't doing the job that I wanted to, and the new one would do it. I don't know, I bought not enough storage, or whatever, I bought the wrong size, anything like that that might push you towards upgrading. But for the most part, it's like, okay, after like 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you're like, okay, it's time. Right? I think that's in general the pattern we see.
I don't know. I mean, Jeff's answer is always my answer. It depends on the features. You know, because at the moment I'm not necessarily looking to upgrade the iPad, but depending on what it comes out with and, you know, what its capabilities are, yeah, there's a decent chance that I would consider it. So, you know, I mean, right now I feel like the screen I have on my iPad Pro is terrific. And I certainly don't look at it and say, gee, I wish it was this, that, or the other. But if I go to an Apple store and look at this new iPad screen, if it is OLED or, you know, whatever the next technology is, and it's like, oh my God, you know, then I would be in the market for an upgrade. And that's just a screen. That's just an example. You know, honestly, I've got plenty of storage on my iPad. It's plenty powerful for what I use it for. That doesn't mean that a gear lust won't kick in and I won't become a new owner.
And that's fair. Your lust can always override everything else. I'll tell you what I think would make a new iPad Pro a very compelling upgrade. Even for someone that has the current iPad Pro, and that would be if the rumors about a new Apple Pencil are correct. And that's also assuming this new Apple Pencil only works with the new iPad models that will be announced. So let's say you are an artist and you're creating art on your iPad with an Apple Pencil right now. One of the rumors is that we'll have swappable tips where it's different tip shapes. This is something that graphic designers have been able to do for a long time with Wacom tablets, but it's like you get a series of styluses, and each one has a different tip, so you can do different types of art. Being able to just swap out the tips on an Apple Pencil would give you the same sort of thing, and that's a big deal for artists. And look who's joining us late, but is still joining us.
Hey there.
Hey.
What an awesome surprise.
Thanks. Thought I'd just jump in. I can barely see, but I could see enough.
It's not like you need to see. I'll get you caught up. Chuck and Patrice are both beautiful.
That's true.
And there you go. You're caught up.
And Jeff apparently needs to see your eye doctor, Dave, on that basis.
Yep, look,
I
I
think
just
so.
call him like I see him.
Yeah. I'm glad
Yeah.
to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and it's a fun surprise because we weren't expecting you to be able to join us.
Yeah, well.
So we're still in the middle of talking about Apple's media event coming up in
Okay.
May. So now you're
Jeff.
totally caught up.
Okay.
Jeff, I have a question for you, though, based on what you just said about the swappable tips. Keeping in mind that I'm not an artist, okay, so I think I have perceptions of how an artist would typically work. And so go with me on this and then tell me I'm full of hot air, and that's fine. But my perception is an artist who's going to do that kind of thing is going to reach over and it's going to have pen number one that has this, not a digital artist, an analog artist, has pen number one that has this particular tip, and then pen number two that has that, whether it's width or whatever. If you have an Apple Pencil that you are swapping tips with, how on Apple is it going to be to need to switch tips between those things as opposed to doing what you would do as an analog artist?
I
Am
mean,
I making sense?
you
yeah,
are.
who's to say that you don't that you just don't like that Apple doesn't want you to buy multiple Apple pencils?
Well, yeah, that goes without saying, Patrice, you know. But I guess I'm trying to understand from the artist's perspective. I understand why this would be desirable. I'm trying to figure out if it ends up though being less desirable because it would involve a swap, unless you make those tips something like magnetic or that are just easy to pop on and off.
Your observation is great and spot on. And I think this is one of the reasons why people that have been creating art for a very long time on their computers are using like a Wacom tablet, where they can have a fistful of styluses and each one has a different type of tip on it. So you're doing that very thing. And for my old Wacom tablet, the one that stopped working when Ventura came out, I had, I don't know, five or six styluses for that one. And they were all different tips. And one of the styluses was even shaped similar to an airbrush wand. And that stylus was specifically for using the airbrush tool in Photoshop. And it was great. So yeah, being able to just set down one stylus or writing instrument and pick up another and keep going, that's definitely a thing. I could see though Apple doing it in the well with essentially the stylus design they already have, where you're unscrewing one tip and putting another tip on, and you have to deal with breaking your continuity by switching out tips. But I could also see where this becomes an opportunity for Apple to say, and now you compare up to five Apple Pencils with one iPad. And so, and maybe they even sell an artist pack of Apple Pencils where you have, and I'm just arbitrarily picking a number, all five tips. And now you can just jump between your Apple Pencils.
Well, Jeff,
What?
you're reading my mind because I'm thinking, this would seem to be an opportunity that if you could give a serious artist an opportunity to purchase, to your point, five, let's say five Apple Pencils with five different tips standard and have those tips still customizable so that, I might have tw 20 tips to choose from, but I have a set of Apple Pencils that I can customize, as my standard set and then swap out anything I need. I mean, that would seem to be, if the artist market is large enough, that would seem to be quite the nice little opportunity for a nice supplemental product.
I don't know if you touched on this or not, but how are the do you think the tips are going to be the same like they are now, where you just screw them on and screw them off? Or would you think they would consider something like magnetic, something easier to interchange them? I don't know if Apple would do something like that when it comes to design, but.
Chuck did speculate on the possibility of magnetic tips. Excuse me. I'm thinking they'll still be screw on. And the reason I'm thinking that just comes from all the years that I have spent using Wacom styluses. And those are designed so that when you put the tip in, it is in until you take it out. And if it's magnetic, how do they do it so that they can ensure that while you're writing, drawing, painting, whatever, the tip doesn't pop off?
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to worry about that.
So I'm thinking they'll still be screw on, and Apple's going to tout, as long as I'm running down this path, Apple's going to tout this whole thing with the multiple tips and the iPad as the ultimate replacement for the graphic tablet you're using on your computer today. And of course, they're going to pitch it that way. And I think it'll be fantastic for a lot of people. But I think that the really high-end pro digital artists will still end up getting like a Wacom Cintiq and a Fistful of Styluses. And did I just come up with the show name, Fistful of
Fistful of
Styluses?
Styluses. Yeah, there you go. Good shout out.
Yeah, you already had two. T tip on, tip off is the other one.
That one might be better.
Anyhow, if they do all of this, I think it'll be a really great art tool, but it won't take the market, that high-end market, away from companies like Wacom.
Jeff, educate me a minute, and I'm trying to look it up here. What when you say a fistful of styluses? What does a fistful of styluses, a fistful of Wacom styluses, cost? I mean, what kind of price range are we talking, as opposed to what a fistful of Apple styluses or pencils would currently cost?
It's a really good question. I'm not sure. It has been so long since I have bought styluses because I mean I had everything I needed, and so I just didn't need to buy more. Let's go to the Wacom store and look right now.
Because I'm looking at a second gen Apple Pencil right now on Amazon as being for 114. I don't know how close that is to retail. I guess that's pretty
Well, it's
close.
129's original price. I've seen them on sale as cheap as 89, so.
Right. And of course there are 5 dozen knockoffs
Well, of
that don't
course.
have all the full feature set, but that can be had for a lot less. But I'm just wondering, Jeff, when we got into the discussion of a five pack, how would a five pack of Apple pencils compare to five Wacom styluses, or pick your, pick however many you're talking about?
Well, right now, surprisingly, Wacom's website is only listing the Bamboo Ink and Bamboo Ink Plus styluses, which is not what we're talking about. And those are $50 or $100 each. So I'm going to guess that let me see if I can just price out some styluses as an add-on for a Wacom Intuos. Is that an option? I have no idea how you buy additional styluses now for the Pro tablets. I'm going to guess that a fistful of Wacom styluses for an Intuos or a Cintiq tablet will cost a little bit less than the comparable pack of Apple Pencils. But
Would you,
probably
would
not a
you,
lot less.
okay, that was going to be the question. Yeah, is it material, or is it just if I have the iPad experience, if you will, then I might be willing to invest just a little more money to get that superior Apple Pencil experience along with the what we're thinking of as a new iPad and or a new Apple Pencil.
Yeah, and well, okay, here's another thing that pro users will be looking at with the Wacom styluses. They don't need to have power, so you don't recharge them. They work with the tablet, and you can actually have them linked to a specific tablet. So you can have your styluses that only work on your tablet, and you never charge them.
Didn't know that.
So, yeah, well, okay, so like the Wacom stylus I have sitting here, this is for the Wacom One. There's no way to charge it because there are no batteries in it. So
So,
anyhow, it's cool technology.
if I'm keeping track of correctly, we've just come up with several new Apple products here. The first one being a pack of Apple Pencils, hopefully at some kind of discount. But since they need to be charged, we'd need a pencil charging dock to make sure that they all stay charged. Plus maybe some kind of tip organizer so
Yeah,
that
you need a
you're
case or something, like a pouch of some sort.
So,
Maybe some MagSafe for them to attach them to something.
I mean, there are some opportunities out there if our speculations are anywhere near on target, which they probably aren't, but hey, it's fun to talk.
It's a lot of
But
fun. All right. Well, as long as we're going down this path, this is a market where Apple could really compete with Wacom if they wanted to, because if you're buying like the high-end Cintiqs, it's a whole computer, so you can actually take the tablet and use it independently of your computer. So if you're doing like Photoshop or Illustrator work and you're traveling, but you don't need your whole computer for the project you're working on, then you can just take the tablet. That's something you can do with an iPad, and I think that's actually something you can do easier with an iPad than with a Cintiq.
that's true.
Patrice, do you not like the way I say whack-em?
It
Waka, waka,
just
waka,
sounds like
waka,
something. Exactly. It sounds like
waka.
something
Hey, Jeff, you're the answer man today because
The answer
this,
man. Jeff, the
yeah,
answer man.
the
Yeah,
show, the
this
show
show,
answer
there's
man.
another show title. I honestly don't know because I have not, it's just not in my wheelhouse. Can you use an Apple Pencil to create art on an iPhone?
No.
Okay. I
No.
didn't think so, but I was not sure.
Least not
Okay.
currently.
People have been asking for it, especially on the Mac phones, but so far, not possible. I
Yeah.
think it's a hardware limitation too, not just software.
Are you sure about that?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think
Is
it's a
it
software
software?
thing. I mean, the screen is small, but I think otherwise the hardware is there. I mean, you couldn't attach it to
That's
charge
true.
it or connect it anywhere, so maybe that's a problem, but
There,
yeah.
depending on the features, there are hardware limitations. For example, hover mode requires an iPad that has different screen sensors in it, so it
Right.
detects the Apple Pencil while it's not touching the glass.
Okay, if you want the hover thing, yes, that's true.
But I think you are correct that the rest of the hardware is in place, so that so
Can you
you
imagine someone with the pencil is a lot longer? You look at an Android, the Samsung has their little stylus pen things that are like little tiny things that you use. I mean, you used to have them on Palm Pilots. I mean, the little small little styluses. I think Steve Jobs would probably be rolling over in his grave because he said, "We're not using a pen or a stylus for an iPhone." So I don't know if that would ever
Well,
happen.
on the other hand, he probably invented the pencil on the iPad, so with
Yeah,
some other people.
possible.
So, yeah, I think
But
so.
Dave, that's an interesting point, I think. But on the other hand, I mean, you don't need, and I don't think that a pencil is a desirable interface for most of the operations of the iPhone. But if you're a Jeff
Yes.
Gamet who might go to a coffee shop and sit down and want to, sketch,
In a pinch.
a crazy person that he sees across from him,
Yeah, take
I
some
could see
notes.
him. Yeah, I could see him having an Apple Pencil that he would take with him for that specific purpose because it's a specific tool.
Or the thing, I mean, that like delivery people have a lot of times where they hand you a phone and you have to sign with your finger. You could do that with a pencil, probably better than with a finger.
Sure. Or could there be an Apple Pencil Mini? Oh,
Oh,
maybe.
Apple
Ooh,
Pencil Mini.
another new product.
Another
Another new
new
product.
product.
Wow. All right, so now we have a debate going on in the chat, which is how do you pronounce the company that makes the
Wacom.
Cintiq, Intuos, and One tablets? And
Wacom.
Wacom is how I said it for years
Yeah.
until talking with Wacom employees who pronounced it Wacom. And Bob Beach is saying that on MacBreak Weekly, they say Wacom, which I have heard that pronunciation as well. And I'm just going to go with what I've heard company employees say and
I
roll with
think we all
that.
know what you mean, so it's fine.
Right.
How about
So
just that company that makes those tablets? That's good
the tablet
enough.
company.
That company.
It creates a problem for searching on Amazon, but beyond that,
You
yeah.
type in that company, there's probably a million Chinese versions of
Oh,
that.
you can find so many Wacom knockoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe what they should do is embrace Moleskine's branding. And if you go to the Moleskine website, and people say Moleskine or Moleskine, or I've heard a bunch of different pronunciations. Go to their website, and they actually have an FAQ, how do you pronounce our company name? And the answer is the way you want to.
Ooh,
They say all the
that's funny.
pronunciations of Moleskine are correct. There you go.
That's interesting.
Apparently,
That
I
is.
am the answer man today.
Yes.
That's why
Yes.
that Shell answer man came into my mind. Well, they used to have that guy who the advertising. That's why you like him.
Sure.
What's the I slept on a Holiday Inn Express last night, and that isn't that the thing that makes you an expert? Yeah. We should probably talk about something else as long as we're here. So do any of you have a preference on any of the other Apple topics? Otherwise, I will toss one out and if I toss one out, which of these is likely to trigger Chuck?
If it involves a lawsuit or rumors, are
Yeah,
those
it's
two?
always a good one.
Well, okay.
Or stupid laws. Also good.
See, there are options. All right. How about if I drop? Here's one, and what I'm doing is waiting to see the expression on Chuck's face when he reads the headline.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
That's a
a good one.
good one. All right,
That's
now
a
let's see
good
what expression
one.
we get from this one. I
didn't even see this one before. This is new.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see this one either.
From today.
Yeah,
If people
this one
want to
came out
know what
today.
we're talking about, chat.britishtechnetwork.com.
All right, so
Ooh,
based on Chuck's expressions,
nicely done, Patrice.
which of the two should we hit?
think the first one.
Okay, so we will talk about the first one.
Unless Chuck wants a different second one, but
Well, we can
Chuck
do
voted with
both.
his face.
We
Let's do
just
both. Okay.
do them both quick because neither of them is really deserves that much discussion.
Let's
All right, so Chuck, what do you think about Ming-Chi Kuo saying that Apple has dramatically cut Vision Pro production because their headset that we're not allowed to call a headset has not hit sales expectations? Go.
Clickbait.
Clickbait.
Plain and
Clickbait.
simple.
You know,
Same
just.
procedure as every month, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we love to prognosticate on Apple ships this, Apple ups its orders, downs its orders. One thing I will give them the little bit of credit for, maybe because I did not read this particular article. He
You don't
may
have
be
to.
tied.
It's the same
Well,
article every time. They just paste in a new product name and post it again.
yeah, I mean, look, he may have some ties into the supply chain. And so, if Apple has backed off on their orders, fine. But I don't know that it's material other than just to say that if it's cut, then the sky is falling. If it increases, then, Apple stock price is going to go up. I mean, it just feels like manipulation to me. And so that's why I guess I never get excited, no matter which direction these predictions are going.
I mean, for one, he does not see the entire supply chain. Who
Right.
knows what's going on? Like, they might have moved, like, it produced more here, moved it there. Like, I mean, I think Tim Cook said it a couple of years ago, even. He said, like, do not count at all or think at all about those numbers because you're not seeing the full picture. Who knows if this wasn't even planned? Maybe this was okay, and at this point, we're gonna phase it down a little bit because I don't know, we have to get ready to produce the next iPhones and we need the production capacity, or we know that we're, I don't know, we've produced enough for the global market and now we're gonna do something else. Like, who knows?
Well, Apple does have a track record of buying up parts for a new product ahead of the launch, and so they're buying a lot because they have to get that initial production run, and then after they've ramped up the production, they have all of this material.
Inventory,
And
yeah.
yeah, and then they ramp down the parts orders. It's, I mean,
That
it's
doesn't
their
mean
natural
anything.
cycle. So,
Yeah. I mean, how many
yeah.
years in a row did we get the story of, oh, the iPhone is not selling because Apple
Yeah.
cut production numbers? And then you look
We
at
get that
the
every year.
quarterly numbers and it's like, yeah, no.
That's reported every year where they're cutting production though.
Yeah, so it's a
The
failure.
15 plus is a failure.
Yeah.
There's still people obviously buying it. They keep releasing it, that plus model. I mean, but no, I fell for it too. We talked about last night at Down in Touch with iOS that this article, and I have to know better now. When Ming-Chi Kuo is not worth any much of breath when he talks about stuff, because there was another article that you didn't mention, was the fact that a lot of retailer locations were reporting way down on any interaction, and people quoting saying that they've only sold like one or two a week as opposed to a couple a day. Demos are way down. You could basically walk in there and do a demo anytime. So they're seeing the traffic drop off, which was to be expected because it's a new product. Like I said, I've said it many times. It's version 1.0. It's a new product. It's great. It's fun. It's great. It's got a lot of great things that you can do with it, but it's still got some ways to go. And especially the $3,500 price tag is tough to swallow.
But everything you just quoted, David, is anecdotal. There's, retail stores are reporting. To whom? To
They don't
whom?
have
To
a
you when you
definitive.
go there and ask,
Yeah,
maybe.
exactly.
There's no
Just
definitive resource. So
no.
yeah, there's not. They're not
No.
quoting sources. So it's a rumor. There's no question.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so
I mean, it
just like
might be
we.
anecdotally true for one store or two or three if they went to them, but it
Yeah.
doesn't mean it's a universal thing.
It might be anecdotally true if you went to every store. I have no problem with that if you become comprehensive. But if you pretend to, I'm going to the three that are closest to me and they're telling me, well, it's not happening. No, I have a hard time with that.
All right. Well, let's hit the other story that got a look from Chuck. And by the way, all the stories we've hit up until this one have come straight out of Dave's show notes for In Touch with iOS. So, Dave, thank you for once again letting us totally crib from your hard work.
Always
Um,
swing door.
and this so this story came out this morning, and it had it come out yesterday, it would have been in Dave's show notes too, I have no doubt.
Probably.
But Here's the buildup for this one. Chuck, if you want to keep making your own AI nudes of me, you're not going to be able to do it on the apps from
Went Chuck went
the
dark
App
for the
Store.
audio
Chuck just
listeners.
disappeared.
I
He's coughing.
yeah, I'm coughing. I feel like I need something. I don't know what after that introduction, Jeff.
All right, so to translate that for everyone else, Apple has apparently just recently discovered that OMG, you can use AI image generator apps that are available on the App Store to make fake nudes of people.
Not anymore.
So, yeah, who would have ever imagined? And so Apple it has been pulling the AI image generation apps from the App Store.
Just blows my mind that anybody who just wants to do that. It's disgusting, honestly, because especially doing as a celebrity or somebody doing those kind of things, it's absurd. I mean, why could that should that be allowed?
So I started this one off with the joke about Chuck making his own nudes of me. But it's also a really good example of why this being able to do that, that's just not right. And that's because what you're doing is non-consensually creating potentially compromising images of someone, and whether it's a celebrity or maybe someone that you know or you saw and you took their photograph, that's not cool.
Not at all.
Yeah, so I can appreciate why Apple is pulling these apps. The problem I have with that is that there are people that are using apps like this in much more responsible ways. So now they're losing access to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same story as always. Like, that's why we can't have nice things, because there's always
Right.
people doing things that they're not supposed to.
It shouldn't surprise anybody that
No.
this was happening.
No.
Okay? I
No.
mean, this is just human nature, I think.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you have to give in to that, that side of human nature. And so I guess for me, the worst part is that, okay, so it claims, I mean, if you click through the articles and go back to the original 404 article, one of the ads says, undress any girl. And it's like,
Okay, so
okay.
yeah,
If they're
that's so
targeting
obvious.
apps that are being marketed that way, that's a totally different thing right there.
Not
No
specific.
one that's using the apps in a legit way is getting screwed over. It's just developers that are making morally corrupt apps.
And not just that, but I mean, okay, so just go with me here for a second, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble, but if you develop this kind of app, that doesn't mean it's an accurate representation
Yeah,
of the real
exactly.
thing. And so in my mind, the worst part is you do this and then you publish it as legitimate, that and it is not anywhere near close. Not only that, but then you have the non-consensual part, which I'm with you 100%. I
Yeah,
mean,
me
that's
too.
not cool. Would any of us like to have that done to us? No, of course not.
No, of course
Of
not.
course not. If we choose to present ourselves in that fashion, or without various articles of clothing, that's our choice, and we have the right to do it, just like the actors and actresses do. But when you're the one making the decision for them, no, that's completely not cool. And so, it would have been a bigger surprise if somebody had published this and said Apple is, refusing to take these apps down. That would have been news. The fact that they're taking them down is not news.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
the question is, how did they even pass any kind of review?
the review, yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
Right. Well, and Apple, they had to go back to 404 Media and say, hey, what apps are you talking about? So Apple never even figured this out on their own. They had to get the information from 404 Media, and then Apple's like, oh, yep, those are gone.
Okay, Jeff, so I'm going to come back at you on that one. All right. The ad that they showed in the show in that article, the one from 404, is an Instagram ad for the app. It's not in the on the App Store. Unfortunately, right now, yeah, unfortunately, we can't go back and see what the App Store representation looked like. So this could have been one of those things that, try on this dress, this jacket, this suit, this tie, this shirt, and then in there or take everything off, but that was not necessarily promoted on the App Store, but it had that capability. And so, that would have been, to your point, that would have been a perfectly legitimate use to say, hey, you want to, Chuck, you're going to buy a new suit. Here's what the Brooks Brothers looks like. Here's what the Ralph Lauren looks like. That's great. But okay, or we can just completely take the suit off of you, and there you are. So, you're right. The people are being legitimately deprived of using something like this because of that one extra feature that then they can go over on Instagram and advertise, and it's going to appeal to a certain level of user. Am I triggered sufficiently for you?
You're doing
Yes.
great.
Okay, thank you.
Spectacular.
All right, so here's my take overall on sharing nudes or creating nudes of people. If we have a relationship, whatever that relationship is, where we both feel comfortable, where saying, "Hey, I would like to have photos of you naked," and that's an okay thing to ask in that relationship. Then you have the choice of saying sure or no. And if you say sure and exchange some photos and that's all kept in confidence, great. But if you say no, everyone respects it and that's the end of it. But don't use AI apps to make fantasy nudes of friends, celebrities, people you meet, whatever, just
Anybody.
of
Doesn't matter.
anybody. Don't
Anybody.
do it. Just don't make non-consensual AI nudes, period.
Can I have a little fun with you, Jeff?
Course.
Did it just get hot in here?
Is it in your view, is it okay to make AI nudes that are not based on a real person? Because they're, since it's not a real person, it can't be consensual. So is that an acceptable practice? Because you specifically said non-consensual.
I did say non-consensual. Yep.
So is there a legitimate market for an AI nude generator?
I'd say there's definitely a market for it. But n now we get into other moral questions, like where did the data come from for this model to be able to generate a nude image, even though it's a fabricated image, it's not of anyone in specific. Is it really not of anyone specific? Because for the model to know how to make a nude image of a person, it needs to have a lot of nude images of people to learn from. And did those people consent to have their bodies added into this mix? And I'm going to guess in some situations, the answer is probably yes. But in a lot of situations, at least currently, probably not. So then is it okay to make a fantasy image of a person that does not exist based on data from actual people who did not consent to having their nude photos included in the model?
But
Jeff, I love you because you went exactly where I wanted you to go.
man,
Okay.
you spoon-fed me that one.
I did. Okay, so now let's step back and ask the very same question. Just take nude photos or nude AIs out of it, and let's plug back in every other kind of request you can make of an AI, of a chat GPT or whatever. And now, if you haven't up to this point, maybe now you understand the big challenges surrounding how these models are trained and where the content comes from. Because, would you want to be have you yourself or your girlfriend, your wife, your mother, your sister, your brother, whatever, used to train an AI model for nude? And if the answer is a resounding no, then why do you think it's okay for them to take some of your content and train a chat GPT or an AI model to do whatever it does? So that's why I love the fact that you went there, because you start getting into nudes and you get emotional reactions. But with some of the other stuff, you don't get the emotional reaction, and people just say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a
Well,
difference.
it always matters.
What about the adult industry? You don't think that they're jumping on this high with the creating any a lot of AI stuff? Maybe did they put some of the actors out of business? Do they When people are using that as creating a nude of somebody, they probably could be pulling that information from one of those sites. I mean, granted, it's copyrighted, but that's happening. At least I think it is.
That's a good question. All right, so let's say you are creating porn, and you're working with a legit porn company, and I'm sure there's people out there that would be like, there's no such thing. No, you can have a
Yes,
legit business
that's legit business. It
that's
might not be more have moral ethical problems, but it's still legit business.
yeah yeah so your legit business, you have created all of this consensual content, and you own the licensing for it. Well, now I think you're in the same position that you would be as one of the mainstream studios, Universal or whoever. Do you have licensing to be able to use the generated likenesses of the performers to create new content?
Hard to say. And then there's a lot of amateur out there too. So I mean, there might not be something like the big the studio. So then,
Right.
someone put that out there. How do you stop that? You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
So in the first place, I think I have seen an article somewhere that there are some adult actors and actresses that are allowing themselves to be used by AI. I mean, and obviously they have been or are being compensated for it.
All right, so if they're being compensated,
And so
and
that makes it consensual.
yeah, that makes it consensual, and yeah, that's a different scenario right there.
Right.
And it's like James Earl Jones licensing his voice for additional Star Wars content.
So to Dave's point, though, which is, I think, a really interesting one, has anybody, I'm sure somebody has, looked at the terms of service of something like OnlyFans, and have people maybe given up those rights based on the terms of service for what they've uploaded to OnlyFans?
Oh, probably yes.
I'm
Yeah.
sure.
Most of
Jeff, I
most I
better go
mean
check my terms of
I'm just going to ask you,
you
Jeff. Yeah, you could help us with
yeah.
that. I mean,
Onlyjeffs.com.
Like YouTube does that, and I'm pretty sure all the other platforms do it. You basically allow them a non perpet no a perpetual non-limited license to do whatever they want with your content, basically.
So they've so in that under that scenario, Patrice, there's already a bottle, a bot, sorry, there's a body of work out there that can be used to train the AIs that Dave's talking about for the adult industry, that is completely legitimate, even though it may feel like it's been kind of misappropriated, but it really hasn't, because if you've signed your rights away, hey, you've signed your rights away.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think
I
you
mean,
have because
but there's a difference. If YouTube or Google is using it for from their content that they have a license for, that's at least legally okay, I would say. If someone else like OpenAI is scraping the data from YouTube or getting the data from YouTube and using it, that's not okay.
absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yep. It's very murky, very complicated,
Yes,
and
as everything is.
completely unlike TSO hosts,
There you go. There
which
we
is
go.
so
Yes.
easy and smooth,
Beautiful.
and oh, it just works. So why would I go to such great pains to create a segue from that into TSO hosts? Well, first there's a challenge, and challenge accepted. But then also, it's because TSO host is being super generous and giving us all the resources we need so we can live stream riveting content like this to you every single week, and to have a place for the website to live so you can go and see what's happening on the British Tech Network, and then also giving us the server space we need so that all of the show files have a place to live so you can watch or listen at your leisure. And it takes a lot to bring all of this together. And the resources go beyond what we can actually do on our own here at the British Tech Network. And TSO Host is generously just giving that to us to do something great for the community. And we appreciate that. How are they able to do that? Well, because they can offer solid streaming services. They do website hosting, and they'll help you buy domain names too. And they offer great support, and they're great people, and they're reliable. So they're just taking what they already do so well and saying, "Here you go. Now you, all of you, can have the British Tech Network, and it just works." So we appreciate that. Thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. Please go out online onto your favorite social media platforms and thank TSO Hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. That is such a small ask. It's so easy to do, but the reward for doing that is super high. First, it's just good karma for you, but then second, it's a great and easy way to let TSO hosts know that all of us, that we all really appreciate that they're here and supporting us. So thank you again, TSO hosts. There's a bonus too. If you decide you need to buy domain names, or you need web hosting, we've already established TSO hosts is great. So use their services because you're going to get good pricing. They make it easy to do. And then it gets even better because you are part of the BTN family. Add the discount code BTN20 at checkout, and you're going to get an extra 20% off your order. So thank you again, TSO hosts. And speaking of things running smoothly and professionally, Patrice, do you mind telling everyone about the live chat that you already referenced so well?
Yes. So we have a really cool live chat that you can join whenever we record. Actually, you could join anytime you want, but it's really only worth it when we are recording this very show or these shows on British Tech Network, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, the Mac Show, and every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show where we talk about the non-Apple side of tech, like the debugging something on Voyager 1, 15 billion gazillion miles away, and stuff like that. Chip design, cars, like all of the other. There's so much to talk
Oh,
about.
right. You meant the probe, not the Star Trek spaceship.
Yes, I meant the probe, not the Star Trek thing. Well, I mean, who knows? It might turn into the Star Trek thing for all we
It
know.
could, yeah, maybe it becomes
Yeah,
V'ger.
it's all possible. So yeah, and then all you have to do when we're recording, and by the way, showtimes very rarely change, but it does happen. So please check our social media We'll talk about that at the end of the show, where you can find that. And yeah, we'll post there if there's any changes. Usually it's fine, but it can happen. And then head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us live. It's that easy. No registration, nothing. Just head there, go in, talk to us, see the links we're posting for the articles, for the cool things that are coming up. Talk to awesome people like us and Bob Beach, for example, who's always in the chat, and I'm very appreciative that he's there. Good comments also,
Nice.
and all of that. So it's really worth it. But let's say you're like listening to us in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, whether it's YouTube Music, I think, Spotify, our website, Apple Podcasts, wherever, like Castro, Overcast, like there's a million options, simply. It's totally fine. You cannot get to the live chat. Well, you could, but there's not going to help you. But if you want to see the link still and see what we talked about in the chat and what we referenced and extra links that we post sometimes and all of that, we have a really cool transcript of our chat. There's a bot in our chat and it posts the transcript on our website. So all you have to do is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And if you go there's a very friendly calendar that asks you for a date. And whatever date you pick between June 2nd, 2015, that's the earliest I found, and well, today, which would be April 26th, 2024, if you pick any date in between, you will see the transcript for that particular day. So if you pick today's date, you will see what we had in the chat today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. All right. So it is now time to do some cool things. And it looks like Patrice has the
Oh,
first one in
I
here.
didn't think I would be faster. Okay. So, new-ish Apple TV Plus show, movie. It's actually not new. I think they released it December 20th last year. It's been a while. But I only discovered it now because of the awesome discovery features of Apple, of the TV app, right? It's so
This
great.
is the
It's
one you were
just the
telling me
best.
about the other day, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. So I saw it in the charts actually, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. It's Girl State. So if you're in the US, you might be aware of Girl State and Boy State. I think it's kind of a state run program in a lot of states where they get students together and they kind of, well, simulate, pretend, I don't know what you call it, learn how government works basically. And they have like Supreme Courts and they have Congress and they have like everything you would imagine and governor in the state and like all of that. They get elected, so students that elect each other and they learn kind of very practically how that goes and how that works. And Apple made a, or actually two movies out of that. There's also Boy State. But yeah, this was, I think it's even Girl State without the apostrophe. I wrote it wrong, but okay. I found it a really, the Boy State one was kind of boring. Didn't care. It wasn't super interesting.
Well, we kind of already have that in real life.
Yes, it is true, but it's also like it just as a movie wasn't super entertaining, to be honest. It doesn't have a message. It was kind of all over the place. So I don't know what they were thinking. It's just, okay, let's do it. But the Girl State one is actually pretty good because it really talks about a lot of, I mean, like part of it is for sure like all the elections and all of the how that is going and like the like what the people are thinking and doing and how they're like trying to get votes and all of that. So kind of a little bit of that. But it's really interesting to start to ask some really good questions and the organizers are actually not very willing to talk about that because they're starting to ask. They're seeing that because I think in this case, I don't remember which state it was. Was it Montana? Don't remember. But like they're on the same university campus, and so they're kind of seeing what the other side basically has, and they have like the state governors there and like politicians and they have money and they're doing stuff and they're talking about real issues and the girls kind of aren't. And they start to ask some really tough questions and saying, "Hey, is that right? And what's going on? And how much money are we actually getting? And how much money is being spent on the other, on the boys' side? And why is that? Is it that way? Like, why don't we get the same opportunities to meet state leaders and to talk about real issues, instead of just doing what we're doing?" And I think it culminates in an article that's being gets written about this, where they kind of summarize that in a very poignant and very well-written way, that it's kind of a question that nobody wants them to ask. So it's a really good movie. I really found it entertaining. I mean, it's I think they're I don't know, say 13, 14, 15, so somewhere around that age, I think. So it's teenage girls, so some of it, like it or not, that's how we are. But it's a really interesting movie, and it's free on Apple TV Plus if you have a subscription. So
Awesome.
go
Nice.
watch it. It's not super long, so it's not one of those 3 hour movies or whatever.
It's on my list since you mentioned it to me the other day, and I'm hoping I'll have time to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. All right, so Dave, it's your turn. Oh, I think you just spent Chuck's money.
This is, I found an actual nice little USB hub docking station. This is it here. It's the BASUS USB-C hub. It's a 4K 60 Hz HDMI USB-C docking station, 7-in-1. It's got the three USB A's on that side, and it's got it has a 100-watt USB C pass-through, so you can charge it up. One of the unique things is on it, and of course you can hook it up to your iPhone 15 because it lights up. It actually lights up, so it tells you if the dock is connected or not, which is
Nice.
was kind of nice little added touch. It's like 60% off. It's $15.99 US. It was originally 30 about $40. Been using it for a little bit now, and I think it's a pretty good, pretty quality good product. I'm pretty impressed with this for just having a quick little device like this for hub. Check it
You
out.
may have spent my money as well. I need to pull out the little USB-C dock that I have and see how it compares. But yeah, I may end up dropping
You have a
$16 on this,
you have an SD card and a micro SD card reader in here too.
which is nice. Yeah. All right. Well, you may have spent my money and Chuck's money.
Yeah, the 100 watt pass through, I think, is the thing that really
Yeah.
catches my eye
Yeah,
because
as soon
that's
as you
not.
said that, I thought, oh yeah, I actually do need to check this one out because I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure what I have doesn't do 100 watt pass through.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Jeez.
I'm not sure what I have does any power pass through.
$16
So
can't beat it.
you're
That's
right.
a pretty good price.
It's a real good
And
price.
it has 1300 ratings and
Yeah, solid.
4.5 star average.
Well, everybody's been saying good things.
All right.
I might be checking out this company stores too. They got a lot of stuff. Another choice for batteries and chargers too.
Yeah, well, great. Looks like I might be spending $16. So thanks for that. Patrice, thank you for not spending money.
Good. You're welcome.
All right. Chuck, can you spend my money?
I don't know. But in keeping with the whole discussion of nude AIs, I want to pick a book called The Battle for the Bird. This is Battle for the Bird, Jack Dorsey, Elon Musk, and the $44 billion fight for Twitter's soul. This was released earlier this year. It's by a Bloomberg journalist. And I really like this book. I just finished it. I don't think I've picked this before. I hope not. But it is pretty much more a statement of fact as opposed to some of the pieces that are out there that are just Elon bashing. More importantly, though, this goes back and explains some of the angst that the Twitter folks went through as the platform developed and it became such a political platform, and how they tried to manage that through, some of Donald Trump's uses of it, some other uses of it, and where the lines are. And if you think the lines are easy, you need to read this book because you start to realize just how tough it is to define hate speech and decide where the line is, and without violating someone else's rights to express their opinions. And it does go the whole way through this, the sale of Twitter. It's, in my opinion, as well worth the time if you have any interest in any of this. So I can highly, not only can I recommend it, it's just plain enjoyable.
Nice. All right. It
Sounds super interesting. I'll add it to my list. Not sure I care, like not sure I care for Twitter, but I am interested in this book.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Having a book that looks
Jesus.
at all of this from a factual standpoint as opposed to an emotional or spin standpoint sounds to me really, really interesting.
Jeff, that's the way I read it. And Patrice, your comment about, you're not sure you like Twitter. That's the kind of thing that I feel like this book didn't buy into, whether you like it or not. It is, in fact, even in the description, you'll see, that it's described as one of the most consequential social networks.
Yeah,
And I think
it
this gives
wasn't.
you an idea of exactly how some of that happened,
Yeah.
especially if, and I'll tell you right now, I was not one who was paying that much attention to it as a political discussion platform. I was using it more, and still do, as an information platform for the things that I was interested in, as opposed to getting caught up in that. But man, there's no
Yeah.
question that that was a big thing that changed a lot of people's views on Twitter.
It did. It changed a ton of things. That's why I said it's not that I don't like Twitter, I just don't care about it anymore. Like that has changed simply.
Yeah.
It's not it's I neither like or dislike it at this point. I'm just like don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
So worth your time, I think.
Yeah,
Cool.
I'll add it to my wish list. Thank you.
All right. So then that brings us to me. And
What Lego do you have for us today?
so there are some really cool Lego kits that are coming out in May. Like really cool stuff. But that's not my pick today. My pick,
Wow.
no, this actually relates to my parents. So here's the deal. My parents really, really wanted to have a dash cam in their car. And considering where they live and the crazy high amount of tourist traffic and people driving horribly, totally makes sense. So I did a bunch of research, gave them some suggestions on cameras that they could get. And so the one that they got, which was on my list, is the Vandru N2 Pro. And it's I ended up installing it in their car for them yesterday and getting it all set up. And it's a nice little camera. It's not this big bulky thing that takes up a bunch of space on your windshield or on your dash. Installation went super fast. And the power cord for this is really long. So I was able to mount the camera high on the windshield, and they have a Honda CR-V. And then I was able to easily run the cable, like I tucked it up into the trim and worked it all the way around, brought it underneath the whole dashboard, and I put in some little clips to hold the cable up underneath there. And then it has to run along the side of the center console so it can get inside one of the compartments where the power port is. And there was still cord left over.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I just thought was super impressive.
Yeah, I mean that shows that they really thought about it and said, okay, we need to have that as a convenient option that you can do really well.
Yes. And they put a USB port on the end of their own charger plug or power plug. So you don't lose the USB port. You can still use it
Nice.
for something else. And well, actually, in this case, it adds a USB power port to your car because it's plugging into the that 12 volt power
Oh,
plug.
okay. Nice.
And it has a built-in battery, so when the car is off, it still has motion sensing, so it can kick on the camera and track or record activity outside the car. It does have a rear-facing camera so that you can record in the car if you want. You can turn that off, and I did not figure out how to do that. I ran out of time yesterday, but you can turn off the cabin facing camera. They call it the Uber camera. Totally makes sense. I mean, if you're doing the rideshare thing, you really want to have
Well,
something
but
recording inside.
is it the Uber camera or the Uber camera?
It probably depends on your attitude. So it does not come with a micro SD card, but you do need to have one to use this. And
They're so cheap.
yeah, they're so cheap. I threw a 128 gig card into this thing for mom and dad, and I don't know, that cost me what, like 18, 20 bucks or something for the card. But it was easy to set up. The manual is wrong, but it's close enough that you can figure out what you're actually supposed to do, because it'll say things like, well, you need to hit the menu button, but you actually need to hit the OK button instead, or you need to scroll up or down. Well, how do you scroll up and down? Well, it's the fast forward and rewind buttons actually do that. But it doesn't tell
Interesting.
you that that's the also the up and down. So that said, even with the little errors in the manual, it's still really easy to figure out how to set up and use. So it's $170, but Amazon is doing a $30 off coupon for
Good deal.
it. So yeah,
Nice.
so it's a nice deal, and it's a highly rated. Oh, I didn't realize how highly rated. Okay,
Yeah, 12, 12,000 reviews.
12,724 ratings with a 4.3 star average.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So there you
Get it
go,
today. I had to get
Vantru
it
N2
today
Pro
too.
dash cam.
I ordered an hour and 28 minutes. I can get it right today.
You can have it today, and like I said, it's super easy to set up.
It even gives you an optional GPS too.
Yes, and I made sure that the GPS is turned on. So what it's doing with the GPS is it's location tagging all of the recordings.
That makes sense.
So yeah, so you have date and time stamp, and you can set the formatting for date and time for the real world or for the US. And so whatever format you need, you've got. And then the geotagging. It's so anyhow.
The real world or the
It's a cool little camera. Okay, so with that, it is now time to wrap up, and I am so happy that I got to start off my Friday with all of you, and then we got the bonus, Dave. You showed up, so
Yeah.
we got a surprise visit from you too. So that was awesome. And actually, Dave, why don't we start with you? Where can people find you?
No, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. I was glad to be able to make it here today. You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live usually, but it's been off a couple weeks. He's coming back next week though, on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Come check me out on there, as well as I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. Thanks, Jeff. And
Awesome.
everybody. And everybody.
And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays and also on the Big Show on Thursdays, as I mentioned. You can find out everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, so all the social media links, including Mastodon. So I also wanted to mention the British at British Tech at techhangout.social, at British Tech at techhangout.social is our Tech Hangout. No, it's our British Tech Network Mastodon instance. But yeah, you can find mine on my website, and techhangout.social is incidentally my own Mastodon instance that I run for us. And if you know me or one of us, then you can reach out and you will get an invite for it. It's invite only. So it's a very exclusive group.
A quality exclusive group.
It definitely
And
is.
proud to have InTouchBIOS on it.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can find me. In addition to our usual content, I'm in the process of releasing some of the interviews I recorded at NAB. As David referenced, yes, we've been off for 2 weeks, but Mac Voices Live returns this coming Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Well, thank you again to all three of you. This has just been so much fun, just like it is every week. And I'm so glad that we're able to get together and do this. Everyone that is here watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, like Bob Beach has been doing, thank you, all of you, for being here and being part of this. You're all awesome. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And I know I just said the people that are here with us live are awesome, but guess what? You are too. You are
And how do we
all
find you, Jeff?
awesome. You don't.
I just don't. Can't be found.
OnlyFans.com/JeffDoesn'tWearPants.
No, only Jeffs.com, right?
OnlyJeffs.com.
Only
Yes.
Jeffs.com.
Okay. So yeah, I guess I should tell people where to find me. All right, Jay Gamut on social media.
You're
Dave,
welcome.
I'm glad someone's here that knows how to run the show. I'm active on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. Then for shows, when Chuck Joyner used to do Mac Voices Live, I was on that all the time. Maybe he'll bring it back like next week. And then Dave, who clearly is professional and knows how to run a show, In Touch with iOS. That's his show. And he lets me join in on that on Thursdays here on the British Tech Network. Ewan is not around to stop me. So I am your interim host here on the Big Show on Thursdays, and then the Mac Show on Fridays. And Brian Chaffin and I also do the Context Machine. All right. Is that good? Did I hit all the important stuff, Dave?
You did.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So then back to thank yous. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO hosts, thank you for supporting us. Give them some online love, everyone. And speaking of online love, we all need to give Kyle some online love for the Daily News Show. And the way you do that first is by listening, and then second, by giving money. So the Daily News Show gives you 5 minutes packed full of all the tech news that matters to you, and it's waiting for you when you get up in the morning. Kyle is fantastic. And it does take some extra money to make that show happen. So go to the BTN website and click the button to send in some money to help support the Daily News Show. And all of you that are already doing that, thank you very much. You rock. Those of you that aren't yet, looking forward to when you are able to. And so thank you in advance. And with that, I think it's okay to say that we will be back next Thursday with a big show, next Friday for the Mac show, which is going to be an adventure because we're going to try and do keynote poker without our poker expert, Patrice, here.
Poker Queen.
Next week already? Holy cow.
Yeah,
It's
you are the
next week
you're
already.
not just the poker expert, you're the poker queen. This is true. Yep. So we'll try and do keynote poker next Friday on the Mac show. And if nothing else, tune in to see how far I end up taking the show off the rails. Yeah, it'll be an adventure. Okay.
As if it was any, it was on the rails to begin with.
That's fair, but it'll give people a taste of just how professional and prepared you really are.
There yeah. are rails.
No, no. There might have been at one point, but they're
long,
way,
long time ago,
way behind us.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, hey, thank you again to everyone for being here. Don't forget to join us next week for the shows. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.